President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed.
Senator Bach, you want to repeat your motion with your microphone on? Maybe everyone is being too noisy to hear you.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor say aye. All opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the Sergeant at Arms will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is Reverend Dr. David Van Dyke, the House of Hope Presbyterian Church in St. Paul. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Creating God, sustaining power and source of all goodness and wisdom, we pause at the outset of business before this body to give you thanks and to remind ourselves of the high calling to public office, as well as the responsibility placed in the hands of those who serve in this chamber. We give you thanks for a land of freedom and opportunity, where ideas are exchanged, debates held, and decisions made. May the decisions forged here be done so with the delicate handling our democracy deserves, for it is a remarkable gift we have inherited, like a rare and precious jewel. May the accomplishments of this body represent the very best of what is capable of being achieved on behalf of the deserving people of Minnesota. In addition to the needs and challenges confronting us in this state, we pray for the world, O God, in all its broken and troubled corners, for all who suffer the effects of war and poverty and natural disaster and senseless violence, especially children. May relief reach them, may hope sustain them, and in times of dismay and uncertainty, may we all be reminded of the sacred bonds of our common humanity. Remind us, O Holy One, in the work you call us to do, that it would be in keeping with your gracious spirit if we would always seek ways to serve rather than to be served. Remind us, too, that your love is broad and all-encompassing, extending even to those with whom we disagree and find hard to love. In the face of our allegiances and commitments, may we find ways to learn the things we need to learn, to listen to those who need to be heard, and to remain open to the new possibilities and solutions that have yet to be proposed and agreed upon in this place. We offer this prayer in humility and in the confidence of your glorious name. Amen.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
The Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fischbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Koonin, Latz, Limmer, Lowry, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson. Dino. Portman, Osmic, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Wieger, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. The second order of business on the Senate agenda is executive and official communications, and I'd like members to take note. These are all the confirmations that are still on this agenda, and they'll be sent back to committee, and that is all the way through, halfway through page 19. So committee chairs should take note. The third order of business is messages from the House. The Secretary of the Senate will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota is now duly organized pursuant to law and has elected the following officers. Paul Thiessen, Speaker. Signed, Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. Transmitted January 8, 2013.
No action is necessary. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the Speaker has appointed Travis D. Reese as Chief Sergeant at Arms. Signed, Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
No action is necessary. And the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the adoption by the House of the following Senate concurrent resolutions herewith returned. Senate Concurring Resolution Number 1, a Senate concurrent resolution relating to the adoption of temporary joint rules. Signed, Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Again, no action is necessary. We move then to the eighth order of business, the introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The following bills, having been given their first reading, will be referred to the committee as indicated on the printed agenda. There will be one bill to be read by the Secretary.
Introduced by Senator Senjum, Senate File Number 20, a bill for an act relating to capital improvements. It's referred to the Committee on Capital.
Okay. You make the referral.
These bills will be referred as indicated. Senate File 20 will be referred to the Committee on Capital Investment. Senator Bach?
Madam President, I believe bills that reference bonding should be referred to finance. That's my request.
All right, the referral on Senate File 20 without objection will be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Madam President, it seems
Senjum?
To me that in the past they have gone to the applicable committee, in this case capital investment, and I would request that.
Okay, the bill will stay with the first committee. Requested capital investment. Motions and resolutions. Resolutions number 10 through 20 are referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. Senate Resolution number 21, the Secretary will read the resolution.
Senators Bach and Han introduced Senate Resolution number 21, a Senate resolution relating to the schedule of standing committee meetings.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move adoption of Senate Resolution number 21. Members, when we approved the list of standing committees and the rules on Tuesday, Inadvertently, the Committee on Taxes was left off, so this amends the rules to include the Tax Committee.
All in favor of the motion to adopt, say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate Resolution Number 22, the Secretary will read the resolution.
Senators Bach and Han introduced Senate Resolution Number 22, a Senate resolution relating to mileage, setting the miles traveled by members of the Senate in going to and returning from the Capitol.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, members, that resolution is on your desk, and I want you to take a look at it and make sure that it's accurate. It indicates the number of miles it is from your home to the Capitol. So I'd like everybody over the next couple days to take a look at that and make sure that's accurate. And if the number is not accurate for your specific mileage from your home to the Capitol, round-trip mileage, please let the Secretary of the Senate know. So, Madam President, for now, I think it would be best to lay it on the table so that members can review it. So I would move to lay Senate Resolution Number 22 on the table.
Senator Bach moved that Senate Resolution Number 22 be laid on the table and printed in the journal. All those in favor of that resolution say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 3, the Secretary will read the resolution.
Senators Bach and Han introduced Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 3, a Senate Concurrent Resolution relating to the adjournment of the Senate and House of Representatives on January 17, 2013.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move adoption of Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 3. And members, if I could just explain, the state constitution says that the legislature cannot adjourn for more than 3 days without permission of the other body. Because of Martin Luther King Day, next Monday, we're doing a concurrent resolution with the House to recognize we're adjourning for more than 3 days. That's a requirement of the Constitution. Appreciate your support. I move to adopt.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Announcements of Senate interest. Oh, excuse me, before that, excuses. Oh, all right. Then I'll take Senator Ham.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I wanted to call attention to, if you were not aware, we had a Rules Committee meeting this morning, and there were some things, actions taken in the Rules Committee that I think all members ought to be aware of, and frankly, I think members of the public ought to be aware of as well. And it has to do with the way that we are dealing with our staff, the people who work for the Senate, not the members, not us, but the employees of the Senate. And I think it's important that we as members understand this. I hope that members of the public understand this as well. And members, a couple of things I'd like to make clear. We had a transition the second time, I think 40 years, from majority to minority. The last couple of elections, we've seen that happen. In the course of that transition, there are things that have to be done. We understand that. We have to adjust the size, the number of people on the staff. You go from a certain size down to a lesser number of members. You have to have a reduction in staff. We understand that. We also have taken into consideration the realities of a budget. We understand that as well. And there are changes in position, and those things are also understood. We think that the things that have happened with the action taken in the Rules Committee today are unwarranted. They are arbitrary, and they are capricious. And let me point out, first of all, that these changes, we as a minority caucus were informed about the number of staff that we would be allocated in to support our caucus on the Friday before Christmas, and the actual numbers of salaries, the amount of salaries were going to be paid to our staff were given to us yesterday. So we were in a position of having to make decisions, and staff members were in the position of having to decide whether to work in our caucus without knowing what their salaries would be. Now, it's my understanding that the other body, and going through the same kind of transition that we went through, had those information pieces available to the members of the minority within 2 weeks of the election. And obviously, when you're trying to go through a reorganization, it is helpful to know what size staff you're going to have and what kind of a budget you're going to work with. And we, as I said, did not get that information finally until yesterday. And we voted today on what those salary numbers should look like. And we had a discussion about that in the Rules Committee, and we feel that those numbers are not warranted. They are unfair. And essentially, without getting into any detail on particular instances, but these are things that were done that affected staff members of the minority caucus uniquely, were not applied generally across the board to other staff members in the Senate. They appear to be partisan. They appear to be punitive. This talk we've had in the last couple of days about the need to set aside the campaign and to set aside the rancor and to govern with a new spirit of bipartisanship, which we all pledge to abide by, I think this is a very, very poor start. We understand as members that we are political and we're engaged in a political debate, and we expect that there's going to be the political give and take. But we're talking about employees who just happen to work for a caucus that is in the minority. And the kind of way that they are being treated in this new roster of salaries is disrespectful, and it is not warranted. And I would implore the members of the majority to rethink this. It's not fair. It's not right. It's not the way that the majority was treated when they went into the minority 2 years ago. It's not the way anybody else was treated in the Senate staff. It's not the way that people in the private sector are treated when there are downsizings and other kinds of things that go on. And I would just also point out, members, that there are no policies. We have no book of policies that govern how these salaries and decisions are to be administered. These are purely the decisions of the Rules Committee, which is to say that the majority makes the decisions. The majority makes the decisions. That is the only policy that we have. It's purely up to the majority, the kind of decisions they're going to make with respect to how they're going to deal with employees, with salaries, with numbers. And so it's perfectly, according to our policies, within the right of the majority to make the decisions that they made. The fact that it's within their right to do so doesn't make those decisions the right decisions. And I think they are the wrong decisions. So members, I think it's important that you know this. I think it's important for the members of the public to know this, that all the talk about being bipartisan and setting aside the campaign apparently has gone down the drain, that now we are going to focus and try to do harm to employees of the Senate who happen to work for the minority caucus. This is wrong, and it is shameful, and I hope the majority reconsiders.
Senator Hand, this is not really an announcement of Senate interest. This is not the time to make speeches, and I'm allowing it because I'm new. And so I'm giving you more leeway, but I would appreciate if you would, you know, ask a question or make an announcement and not use this time in the agenda to express your concerns about other business of the Senate. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Excuse me, I'm in the middle of a sentence. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Rood, Senator Ingebrigtsen, and Senator Ortman. Senator Rosen, for what reason does the lady rise?
Madam President, I do have a question for the majority leader, and I do have a statement I'd like to make.
All right,
and I think
question.
The comment by our minority leader had every right to be brought up today, because this is an extremely important subject that needs to be known by this entire body. Many of us were elected because we want to be the voice for those who have no voice. And we always think of it as being our constituents who are out there. But we also have people that work for us, that make us who we are, who are good. And what happened today in Rules Committee needs a better explanation from the majority leader. I had great hope, members, of going into this session, even in the minority, which I have served for many years, of being and working in a bipartisan way. And what happened today in Rules Committee was extremely mean-spirited and disingenuous, and I do believe that requires an explanation. Because from this day forward, it's going to be very, very tough to approach this agenda and this session in a bipartisan way when we have people that were treated completely different than what happened in the rest of this Capitol. So if I could ask the majority leader to yield and explain what happened, I would appreciate that.
Will the majority leader yield? Senator Bach.
Madam President, certainly the change in leadership leads to a lot of difficulties, a lot of uncertainties in the lives of many staff that find themselves without work. And I remember 2 years ago, right before Christmas, having to lay off about 40 people that work for our caucus, and I know your caucus is going through something similar this year. And for some reason, 2 years ago when hiring was done, and it may be because the leadership wasn't aware there was a salary grid and a place that new hires were supposed to be placed into as new hires of the Senate. The Senate does not, historically has not given additional salary supplements to partisan staff for educational experience, for previous service in the House. We have not historically given any additional salary steps to new hires that way. For some reason, 2 years ago, when new hires were made, they gave a preference to people who had House experience or who had educational experience or career experience, and they weren't put into the normal salary grid where new hires should have been placed. What the salary roster that was adopted today reflects is where people belonged in the salary grid. If you take away the previous experience, the educational experience, the other career experience that they had, which we have not considered previously, this just reflects where people historically would have been placed in the grid when they were hired by the Senate.
Madam President.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Bacol. I appreciate your comments. I believe you were on the Rules Committee at the time the salaries were approved, and it would have been very appropriate for you to remind the majority at that time that they were acting out of ordinary custom and practice with the Senate. This is not an appropriate time to bring forward a change to a prior Rules Committee rulings, especially when there's been such a significant change in leadership. In the disappointing decisions that were made in the Rules Committee, there were people hurt. There are 23-year-old women who graduated college who are trying to pay their student loans, who are taking a pay cut. And so I'm asking the majority to encourage your leadership to be leaders of all the staff. You can come after me all you want, but don't come after our staff. Be fair. Reinstate the 10% cut that has been the custom of this body. And if you want to come after us, come after us, but leave them alone.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. I do have a question for the majority leader, and I'd ask if he would yield.
Majority leader yield? Yes, proceed.
Thank you. Senator Bach, I'm just wondering, we talked about this in the Rules Committee, but I think it's important that we all talk about this. We looked at numbers as 35% reduction in salary for members. 40% was the highest that we saw. And looked back to 2 years ago and saw, and you were a part of it, that there was a maximum of a 10% cut. And it was a case that you made, that you had some very valuable employees on your side that had worked hard, and they weren't the senators, they were the Senate staff. And so I'm wondering why there's such a big difference. I mean, I've heard your case, but we're making the case that we also have those types of employees. They're not the senators. They're Senate staff. Doesn't matter whether they're Republican or Democrat. And yet we're 35% cut, 40% cut, and at the very last moment. In fact, we already started, and now we're going to say, I'm sorry, but you're going to get much less than you thought. And I'd like your comments on that.
Senator
Madam President, point of order.
Senator Reinert.
If you just remind members of the chamber that all conversation in the chamber goes through you, Madam President, and not to individual members.
Point well taken. Senator Bach.
Well, Madam President, Senator Gazelka, I'll just give you an example of where we think the previous majority was total arbitrary in hiring people with no experience in the state Senate. There was one position where a new hire coming into the Senate as a committee administrator, rather than come in at $44,200, which is where the entry-level CA1 comes in, and all of the entry-level CAs that are working for the majority caucus today came in at that level, $44,200, and that includes people hired that were internally employed in the Senate as legislative assistants that went up to being committee administrators to the new hires came in at $44,200, where they should have been placed in the salary grid. For some reason, some very arbitrary decisions were made 2 years ago, and the example is this. A person was hired to be a committee administrator for one of your standing committees, and rather than given the salary of $44,200, which is where they what they should have received to be in the grid, they were given a salary of $70,000 and had never worked one day for the state senate. That is outside of what has been the tradition of the Senate as it relates to new hires. I know those kind of decisions create real dissension among our staff members. We are simply trying to correct and put people back into the grid, salary grid, where they belong. I am not going to let the action of the 87th legislature bind that of the 88th legislature. I thought those decisions were wrong. We're not going to have a person that's worked in the Senate for 2 years as a committee administrator who's now a legislative assistant making $63,000 as a legislative assistant and have all the new committee administrators for the majority making $44,200. And I don't think anybody around here should think that that's right, considering the duties that the committee administrators have. So I know some people are not happy. There are a lot of people in the majority caucus not happy. A lot of people and a lot of staff in the majority not happy because they thought getting into the majority they'd be able to get pay raises. We have committee administrators that are working for leadership in the tax committee that historically have gotten a higher salary than a normal committee administrator, but they went back to the salary they had 2 years ago. They didn't get recognized for being a leadership committee administrator. There are a number of people in both caucuses, I can tell you, that are not happy with this salary structure. But members, this majority inherited a Senate budget that's going to go into deficit by June 30th because of the actions over the last 2 years. Now, we took a significant cut along with the rest of state government to end the government shutdown. That cut has led us to a budget where it's going to be very, very difficult for us to get through to June 30th without having a deficit in the Senate budget and having to go into the carry forward. Now, members, I just want to make it real clear, especially for those of you that are new. The carry forward is about one-time expenditures. That's not the Senate budget. The carry forward is what we buy laptops with, what we buy furniture with, okay? What we pay severance costs with now that we've got people being laid off. It's what we pay unemployment with because the Senate is self-insured. That's what the carry forward is in, one-time expenditures. So I do think it's wrong to exceed the Senate budget and deficit spend and move in and spend on a carry forward that's not intended and historically has not been used for that purpose. So members, I know there's a lot of pain around here. There's a lot of pain in all areas of state government. There's a lot of pain all across our communities with constituents and businesses in these very tough economic times. And the Senate budget is no different than the budgets of many families that are struggling a great deal right now. And we're all hopeful that this economy can improve, the state budget improves, the Senate budget can improve. And I feel bad that we haven't given employees of the Senate a pay raise since 2007. And I hope that once this session is over, we're able to find a way to get some money to the Senate budget so that we can resume giving some kind of cost of living increase to the almost 200 people that work for the state Senate.
More announcements of Senate interest. Senator Hall.
Madam President.
Senator Hall was next in line. Did you want to yield to Senator Hand, Senator Hall?
I will yield to David.
Okay, Senator Hand.
Thank you. Thanks, Senator Hall. Thank you, Madam President. And just a brief comment on the remarks by the Majority Leader and the example that he used. There is an individual that he referred to. That individual, it's true, has now had 2 years of Senate experience, but that individual was hired with 17 years of experience at a state department as well as experience in the other body. And this is not a person that was fresh out of college or hired off the street or did not have any relevant experience to the duties that that person was hired to do. What the majority has decided is that person with 17, now 19 years of experience in government and policy and working for not just the Senate but also the other body and other parts of state government, that person is now deemed to be the same as an entry-level employee in the Senate. and has retroactively had that person's salary reduced, and then on top of that, a further reduction. This has never been done before. 2 years ago, when the then majority went to the majority then did not go back and look at all the salary decisions that had been made in past years and say, well, maybe that person's salary wasn't done properly according to our standards, and maybe that person's salary ought to be adjusted downward before we do anything else. But that's what this majority is doing. They're going and taking a look at decisions that were made properly by the Rules Committee 2 years ago, by the personnel staff 2 years ago, and saying retroactively, well, we're not going to have that. We're going to change that. We're going to arbitrarily set that thing aside, reduce them, and then we're going to give further reductions on top of that. Those decisions were not made in other cases of staff who had similar circumstances that are not partisan, they're nonpartisan. Those decisions were not made. This is arbitrary. This is unfair. This is disrespectful to the people who work in our caucus. And I would just urge the majority to rethink this, because this is not right. So please rethink it.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to add to that, you know, when you're taking my LA and with his experience and two kids at home, one full-time salary, trying to make it, and then you end up cutting him 40%, feels hurtful, feels like you're going after the minority, and we all talk about being fair, equitable. Is that what's happening here? It doesn't feel like it. Thank you.
Senator Benson.
Madam President, will Senator Bach yield?
Senator Bach yields? Yes, Senator Bach will yield.
Senator Bach, when the roster was voted on in the previous majority, were you present? Did you vote in the affirmative or the negative? Was there a roll call?
Senator Bach.
Senator Benson, I was a member of the Rules Committee. I do not remember there being a roll call. There may have been one. But I think what's important to note in specific to your question is, once the roster was adopted, there were a number of additions or modifications to the roster made after it was originally adopted 2 years ago. None of those kind of changes were referred to what historically has been a committee called the Management Advisory Committee. For some reason, the previous majority did not use the Management Advisory Committee to take new hire salaries and to take adjustments through. So the current roster, as of a week ago, was much different than the one that was adopted when the 87th legislature convened. And I don't believe the changes were ever brought to the Rules Committee, but I'm not, I guess the short answer is I don't remember if there's a roll call or not.
And Madam President, Senator Bach, given that nobody voted in the negative on that roster, we can assume you gave some sort of approval, and given that you were the ranking member of the Rules Committee, had some authority over the last 2 years to question those processes. And so I think in light of that, the just and fair thing to do would be to adopt the maximum 10% cut policy. And I would urge members of the majority to adopt a tone of fairness as we go forward from this day.
Senator Ingebrigtsen is present. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Bach yield?
Senator Bach, will you yield? Senator Bach yields.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Bach. I made an observation last night at the chamber dinner, and you may recall that the person emceeing that event asked the question, how do you think the legislature is going to get along? Senator Bach, you made a statement that said, it all depends on the new freshmen and how they change from campaign mode to governing mode. That will determine how we all get along. Do you remember that, Senator Bach? That's a rather timely statement in light of the discussion we're having here today. Having a cut in salaries, and I agree with Senator Hahn, this goes far beyond the pale of what we've ever seen here before. I've been here a long time. I haven't seen this. I haven't seen this type of treatment toward any staff, let alone let it be the minority. Let alone be that You represent a majority that can do anything you want in the state of Minnesota. You can pass any policy bill, any budget bill. And for some reason, you're having a difficulty trying to get your mind around how we handle the mistreatment of employees in the minority caucus. The question I have, though, is, have you given any thought to how this is going to affect how we do our business with our constituents? Because after all, this is what this building is for. It's for them, it's not for us. But with a severe cut in salaries, we all know people have to face a financial reality. They may have to change their jobs. They may have to make alterations. When they leave good, quality, experienced, professional staff that have been trained here on the time they've been in service to the people of Minnesota, we have to replace them, and oftentimes with people that have no experience here. And then that person who's calling for that health care question that needs to be resolved within 24 hours because they have a medical emergency with someone in their family, that staff is going to have to plod through all the phone numbers, all of the departments and agencies trying to help that person, when we know that a good experienced staff usually has that number on the tip of their tongue and they can get that person rifled to that emergency immediately. Those are the things that are going to happen. That's going to be the pitfall. That's going to be the slamming reality. It's not so much us, it's how we handle the needs of our people. Have you given any thought to that, Senator Bach?
Senator Limmer, are you asking Senator Bach to yield?
Madam President, when I first stood up, I asked the senator to yield, and he said yes.
Okay, Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, maybe I can reference the memo that was written by previous Secretary of the Senate on November 6th on Election Day, where in it he says that the current Senate budget is going to have to be reassessed after the election, and he actually says he expects it to impose significant reduction in the minority. You know, and Senator Senjum and I had conversations, we had conversations with other people about the status of the Senate budget, and the date that I remember, and Senator Senjum can correct me if I'm wrong, was December 4th. I mean, we talked about, prior to the election, a reassessment on December 4th about what we were going to do about the status of the Senate budget. And there were staffing reductions coming, or expected, on December 4th. That is what was my understanding way back last May when we went home.
Senator Osmek.
Thank you, Madam President. I honestly did not think my second day I would be speaking in this body. It's a privilege to be here, and thank you. I want to amplify upon what Senator Limmer said. I am one of the four freshmen GOP members that have no legislative prior experience in this body. There were great words said on Tuesday, just 24 hours ago, short a few minutes, by yourself, Madam President, Senator Hayden, Senator Sieben, and Senator Bach. I have the privilege of a very experienced legislative assistant. He has more experience than your average off-the-street legislative assistant. It is critical for me to serve my constituency to have that level of experience, just as Senator Limmer indicated. When we came in here, we were said we were to serve. Not just serve the people who elected us, not just to serve our supporters, but to serve the state of Minnesota. And I find it very highly disappointing that in the spirit of bipartisanship that on day two this would happen. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements of Senate interest? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Senjum yield?
Senator Senjum, will you yield? Senator Senjum yields. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. I've heard Senator Bach make a couple of references today, both on the floor and in the Rules Committee. I remember him just on the floor this morning. Now, he said that 2 years ago the decision regarding staffing was wrong. He has made a couple of references to the immediate past Secretary of the Senate with a memo saying that significant reductions in staff are going to have to be made. And if my numbers are correct, we have gone from 75 staff in 2011 to 43 presently, which seems to me to be pretty significant. And I'm just this feels to me like there is an inequity in play here, where the current minority staff is being reduced in terms of a salary by up to 40%. And if I recall the testimony in the Rules Committee from this morning, there were no nonpartisan staff members who were cut more than 10%, and no majority staff members cut more than 40%. And when I compare that to what I see in terms of what's happening to the minority staff, it really feels to me like there is an inequity in play. And so my question to you, Senator Sinjum, is when you were the majority leader, can you give us some perspective as to how the Rules Committee, which I was not on at that time, how did the Rules Committee treat the then majority staff members? How did the majority treat the minority staff members immediately following the election and before the Senate reconvened here in January?
Senator Sinjum.
Thank you very much, Senator Newman. And maybe I'll just try to keep this somewhat brief, but start, and going back to that initial, I think, memo that was referred to by the majority leader from the Secretary of Senate, albeit I was not majority leader at that point, I think it did, as we came into the 2011 session, I think there was some feelings about a budget crisis. And for those of you who are here, you remember we did certain things. We reduced per diem, no out-of-state travel, several other things. We held back on staff hires. In my own case, I did not hire a committee administrator for 8 months simply to save money. So we were looking kind of under the covers, if you will, into the Davenport pillows and so on for nickels and dimes that would add up. And in the end, my recollection was that we left in our last Rules Committee in November or December, rather. We were reporting a $2.6 million carryover. In other words, we had saved substantially. And that, I think in my mind, certainly allows us to move through to June 30th with ample money such that we would not have to take the actions that apparently were taken this morning. But then moreover, Senator Newman, there was part of this grand strategy, a continual look-see. And frankly, there was this idea about the minority staff going one-on-two in terms of an LA ratio, something I know Senator Day had worked very long and hard for over the years with Senator Moe to get to this one-to-one relationship with an LA. I wasn't going to, on my worst day, enact that, if at all possible. And so we did not. We did not ever take the minority to a one-on-two in terms of a member-LA relationship. That, as we've talked about this morning, makes the senator less effective, and it was important to me that that not occur. So we tried to be as fair as we could, not only from the standpoint of saving money, but from the standpoint of dealing with the majority, or pardon me, the minority caucus, and I thought in a fair way to allow them to certainly serve their constituents, so important that it is, and to maintain as well as a minority caucus can their stature and their ability to serve. So in terms of my feelings, in terms of what we did during my time, I feel, and I hope Senator Bach agrees, the hand of fairness was always there and would continue to be there. And I hope that can be reciprocated as we move forward and discuss this very, very important point.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Sieben yield, please?
Senator who did you say?
Sieben.
Senator Sieben. Senator Sieben, will you yield? Yes, she will yield. Senator Peterson.
Madam Chair and Senator Sieben, I'm wondering if you can give the body some insight into why it took until December 21st. I had the pleasure of serving on the Senate Personnel Committee, and we did not get notice from the current majority until December 21st, the count, the number of staff we were going to be allowed to. And then, as you heard just as yesterday, on January 9th, we finally got the budget. Senator Sieben, can you give us some insight into what took so long for us to get first the count by January or by December 21st and then the budget by just yesterday, January 9th?
Senator Sieben.
Madam President, Senator, I do not have any insight to that, but would yield to Senator Bach to discuss the timeline of the negotiations that occurred between Senator Bach and your minority leader.
Madam Chair, would Senator Bach yield?
Senator Bach, would you yield? Senator Bach will yield. Senator Peterson, should I just go straight to him? You don't need to repeat your question.
Yes,
I
Madam
think.
Chair, thank
Senator
you.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Peterson, there's a gorilla in the room, and it's the lawsuit against this state Senate that was brought on by behavior of members of your caucus and employees that your caucus hired. And we don't know what the long-term implication that's going to be on the Senate budget. I mean, those are just the facts. And part of the reason it took so long to get a salary structure is the uncertainty that all of that creates. The other thing was a transition from one Secretary of the Senate leaving and another one coming. We had no authority to hire a new Secretary of the Senate to work on this salary structure until after the first of the year. And Ms. Zoff, to her credit, spent a great deal of time working on this for free because she was not on the payroll. So those are just the realities of where we're at. Our HR person that was working for the Senate for the 87th legislature did not stay on with employment, so was not available to help with this either. So members, we just kind of are where we are. And there's a lot of uncertainty about how we are going to pay the bills and continue to pay all of the almost 200 Senate employees as we lead up to the end of this biennium on June 30th.
Yeah, Madam Chair and Senator,
Senator Peterson.
Bach, Madam Chair and Senator Bach, I understand the summary. I did watch the hearing and your references to that situation, but I have a hard time, and I think members of this body have a hard time understanding, again, the length of time. Could you just give us one example of what was the biggest budget hang-up which held your decision on the budget until yesterday, our opening day of the Senate? Was there one or two things?
Senator Bach.
Let me give you one. And I met in early December, I guess, with Senator Senjum about the unpaid attorney bills relative to the lawsuit that this Senate finds itself subjected to. Because we paid attorney bills for the Senate attorney back in June through May 31st. I had no idea what additional legal bills the Senate had obligated itself to from that date on May 31st up through the election. So I asked Senator Senjum if we could hold a Rules Committee hearing in December and get all of those back attorney bills paid. And Senator Peterson, I didn't know how much they were. We came to find out, and to Senator Senjum's credit, he did hold a Rules Committee hearing on December 13th, I believe, and the attorney bills going back to June 1st were paid, and they were about $90,000. That helped. That gave us a little bit more idea where we were at relative to the Senate budget. That's my one example.
Senator Peterson.
Madam Chair and Senator Bach, one more question. So you're... what do you think you're saving? What do you think the majority budget is saving by the reductions you've made to the staff, incidentally, that only the minority staff have experienced? It's important to note that there is members of the Senate that are getting increases, actually. But so what's the number that you're saving by reducing the minority's staff budget?
Senator Bach.
I don't have an actual number. My hope is that we can get through to June 30th and have enough money in the Senate budget that we don't go into deficit. And that's always been our objective, is that we can get to June 30th without running out of money. Right now, we're very close, we're on the bubble relative to whether we're gonna be able to accomplish that or not. We'll be able to get you more information once the roster was adopted today, and the Senate budget is mostly salaries. We now will be able to have our nonpartisan staff run the numbers that we've adopted the roster and find out if indeed we can get to June 30th and continue to make payroll.
Senator Peterson, and then we do have other people on the list.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had one yes or no question for Senator Sieben, if she would yield, please.
Senator Sieben will yield.
Senator Sieben, do you think that it's fair and reasonable that the Senate minority would not get their staff counts till December 21st and then the budget till yesterday, December 9th? Senator Sieben, do you think that's fair and reasonable?
Senator Sieben.
Madam President, Senator Peterson, I don't think that either caucus necessarily is being treated fairly. And I'll give you a specific example. We have committee administrators for the majority caucus who are committee administrators now who have been working for the Senate for years in some cases, who are coming in at the very bottom of the salary range that's possible. So with regard to whether they have previous experience outside the state Senate, whether that be in the House or other state government agencies, that is not being taken into account. Neither is their previous Senate experience. So we have employees in our caucus, in the majority caucus, who likely would have been given a much larger pay increase, not only because of their new responsibilities, but also because of their previous Senate experience, who are not realizing that net pay. Also keeping in mind for the public that Senate staff across the board has not received a pay increase since 2007. So we have staff in our caucus, too, who are being treated unfairly. So I don't know if that directly answers your question. I just think it is wise of us to all keep in mind that we are operating under a very austere budget, and that is reflected on both sides of the aisle.
So, Madam Chair and Senator Sieben,
Senator Peterson, wrapping up.
Yep, I think what you're saying, so what I heard you say, the increases that you're giving to your employees and the nonpartisan staff of the Senate that are getting increases are fair, and you're saying that the reductions that the minority staff are getting is fair. Did I misrepresent your statement?
Senator Sieben, did you want to respond? All right. Then Senator Nelson.
This discussion on the budget. And while I certainly appreciate all of those comments about austere budgets, we all should be talking about austere budgets. My hope is that Senator Bach and Senator Sieben will continue this austere budget concept throughout the next budget year. But let's talk specifically about the issue at hand today, which has to do with the Senate budget. My understanding is that there's actually over $1 million on the bottom line. I'm going to let the Rules Committee certainly discuss if having a surplus requires reductions in pay. I guess that's something that they will have to discuss. But as a member who is not on that Rules Committee and sitting here listening today, there is the distinct feel that pay reductions are being applied in an inconsistent manner. Must be the mic. There's a distinct feel and perception. There's a distinct feel and perception that these reductions are being applied in an inconsistent manner. Madam President, it appears that these reductions are meant to silence the minority. This is un-Minnesotan. It's un-American. Just today, I was visiting with a member of the majority who was very clear in discussion that minorities in the Senate should not be treated differently just because they're in the minority. The minority community understands that. We don't treat people differently with a different set of rules and different pay grades just because they're in the minority. I would strongly encourage Senator Bach, I would strongly encourage your fellow senators to discuss and reconsider this, and if truly pay reductions are really deemed necessary, even though there's a surplus, I would humbly ask and expect that they be done in a consistent manner and not in a way that is to penalize and try to silence the minority.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, we are not off to a good start in this body. On Tuesday, Madam President, you yourself talked about the need for bipartisanship, working together, and getting along. Our new Senate Majority Leader spoke of the need for bipartisanship, getting together, or working together and getting along. However, the actions this morning by the Majority Party and the Rules Committee speak an entirely different message. Your words say one thing, but your actions are saying something entirely different. I would respectfully ask the majority party to please reconsider in an effort that we could set a new tone in the legislature, in the Senate, of bipartisanship and working together. Please reconsider your actions of what the Rules Committee did this morning. Give it a second look and say we do want to honor the words we spoke on Tuesday of bipartisanship and getting along. We want to honor that. We meant what we said. Therefore, we will take a second look at what Rules Committee did this morning. We'll give it a second look, and we will make changes because we do want to get along in this body. I respectfully ask that of the majority.
Senator Rosen. Senator Rosen, did you still want to speak?
Thank you, Madam President. I would. And I appreciate, Madam President, that we've had this discussion because it's very important. And obviously, everybody in this chamber knows how passionate we feel and how we are standing up for our staff and how we feel that these people need a voice, how fairly they've been treated. And I appreciate the conversation, but I walk away from this chamber still totally confused why our staff has been singled out on this. And to me, it appears there's been a little tit for tat. And that is not the higher body. We are above and beyond that. There are many of us here for a very good reason, ready to work in a bipartisan way across the aisle, do what we can, what's best for the state. But this action this morning, or as of yesterday and as of this morning, is not the best for the state. So I am standing up for my assistant, for every one of our staff that work for us, that believe in our work, that want to make us a better senator. And I'm asking the majority leader, the majority caucus, to relook at this. This is truly a disingenuous, disheartening action.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Bach yield?
Senator Bach yields. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Bach, did any returning staff members of the Senate, partisan or nonpartisan, receive a pay raise from last year?
Senator Bach.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Miller, I believe that the only places where people received salary increases were they were changing job positions. Where legislative assistants went from being just a legislative assistant to a member to being a legislative assistant for a committee and became a committee LA, changed positions, they got a salary increase. Where legislative assistants went from being a legislative assistant to a committee administrator, change job titles and duties and responsibilities, they received a pay increase. But I'm not aware of where pay increases were granted for where people didn't have additional responsibility with new positions.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Bach, is it possible for each member of the chamber to get a list of returning staff, what their salary was last year, and what their salary will be for this session?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Miller, one of the things that I mentioned in the Rules Committee that I think is important that members need to think about. For some reason over the last for decades, the Senate has had a management advisory committee made up of nonpartisan staff, chiefs of staff of both caucuses, the head fiscal analyst, the secretary of the Senate, and that kind of like a personnel committee, you might say, management advisory committee it's been called. So when you hear the acronym MAC, M-A-C, that's what that was. For some reason, the previous majority of the last 2 years decided not to constitute that committee. I think that's part of the reason you ended up with some very arbitrary salaries in your salary structure, because they didn't go through the decade-old process that the Senate had in establishing salaries. It's my intent to reestablish the Management Advisory Committee and take future salary adjustments to them. And I think, to your point, Senator Miller, I think that's a good piece of work for that Management Advisory Committee to consider, to take a look at the salaries of employees last year versus this year and what their job titles were, what their job changes were. It's not just good enough to look across the line by an employee and look at their salary, because in many, many cases, most cases where there, I think there were salary changes, it's because duties changed.
Senator Miller.
Madam President, Senator Bach, is it possible for each member to get a list of returning staff, what their position was last session, what their new position is this session, along with their salary last session and their salary this session?
Senator Bach.
Senator Miller, absolutely, and we'd be happy to put on that spreadsheet the salaries back in 2010 to show how that transition worked and how when Democrats went in the minority, they also, when positions changed, people took salary reductions. The Secretary of the Senate, I believe, can put that together for us.
And Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam President.
It's not on. There's a switch.
Thank you, Madam President. Wow, what a way to start our second day. I want to talk about the fact that what we're talking about here are hardworking Minnesotans who make good but average salaries to support themselves and to support their families.
And they are crucial to our ability.
To serve our district and the people of Minnesota. I would ask that the criteria used to set staff salaries be reviewed by the Rules Committee, all staff, partisan and nonpartisan, to make sure that.
Senator Pratt,
do.
Would you be sure you address your comments to the President? That's
Sorry, ma'am.
Kind of the custom in the Senate, and I know some people have been a little loose about that this morning.
And I would just ask that the Rules Committee reevaluate and look at all partisan and nonpartisan staff to assure that we do have consistency in the evaluation process. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Senator Nina.
Thank you, Madam President. I will address this to the entire body, but particularly I would like to address this to the freshmen, and most particularly those freshmen that are in the majority caucus. Now, most of the freshmen that are here in this body, particularly in the majority caucus, don't know me from Adam. So let me give you a little bit of background on some of my activity in this body and my attempt. I come here not to do Republican things. I come here to do right things. And that's always my attempt. Now, I have a particular worldview that might differ from others, but I try to do the right thing. And I can think of three particular cases, one involving Senator Bach. There was a bill, a particularly significant bill, on this floor. And as I recall, I was the only member of the majority to vote with the minority on that. And as we walked out of this chamber, Senator Bach came up and said, thank you for that. That was the right thing to do. And I remember a motion by Senator Lurie on a health care related bill that skipped a committee that he thought it should go to. And I looked at that bill and I said, you know what, he's right. And as I recall, I was the only member of the majority to vote with the minority to move that bill over to that committee. And Senator Lurie walked back and said, thank you, that was the right thing to do. And I remember a bill that Senator Bonhoff had. And I was the only chair in the majority to give her a hearing on that bill in the Senate. I think the only hearing in the entire legislature for Secretary Ritchie. And Senator Bonhoff said, thank you for giving us that opportunity. So for you freshmen, I'm not some partisan hack up here making a political partisan speech. I'm up here making a statement, an announcement, particularly for the freshmen. Ask yourself, what is the right thing to do? Now, maybe these pay cuts, maybe you can argue that they're fair and equitable. I don't think they are, but maybe you can make that argument. Maybe you can argue that they're not partisan. Clearly they are, but maybe you can make the argument that they're not. I would be willing to put money on the table and make a bet that almost every single freshman who got elected into this body campaigned saying, can't we get along, stop the partisan gridlock, let's work across the aisle. Is that what's going on here? Ask yourself, is that what's going on here? Or is it completely to the contrary? Is this hyper-partisanship? I think it is, but ask yourself that question. Now, I was encouraged when I heard the majority leader and leadership in the majority talk about, we want to be bipartisan. November, first week of November, we had an election. Majorities flipped. And our leadership for the incoming minority knew they were going to have to reduce staff. And our leadership went to the majority leadership and said, how many staff are we going to have? We don't know. Well, that made sense for a week or two or three or four or five. But do you know when we were told how many people we had to lay off? Friday before Christmas. Now, again, this is addressed to the freshmen. Is that bipartisan working across the aisle? To wait nearly 2 months, the Friday before Christmas, to let people know when they're going to, if they're going to get laid off or keep their job? Our leadership in the new minority was asking the majority leadership, what are the salary scales now? We've laid off all these people, but what are the salary scales? We didn't know, and we didn't know, and we didn't know. We had employees.
Madam President, point of order.
Senator Latt, state your point.
Madam President, what order of business are we on?
We are on the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest.
Madam President, I think the President has given more than adequate leeway beyond the what's allowed under the procedures of the Senate to address this issue. I ask that the President enforce the order of business and end debate on this matter.
Madam President?
Thank you, Senator Latz. I'd like to, but I think on this first real day of session that we need to listen to people and let them express their opinions. So, but if people could be brief so that we could end at a reasonable hour, I'd appreciate it. Senator Nienau.
I appreciate that, Madam President, but unless you remember the Rules Committee, you didn't know what happened until we got here, and you should be interested, and that's my point, a point of Senate interest. Now, the members of the minority had staff that were retained and hired, etc., had no idea what they were going to get paid. They were doing their job, and they didn't even know what their salary was. Now, is that working across the aisle? Is that bipartisan? Is that working with the minority? Madam President, bipartisanship is more than a word, it's actions. And again, this is particularly addressed to the new members of the Senate, and particularly to the new members of the Majority Caucus. What do those actions say? What do they do? Are they bipartisan or are they partisan? I think you know the answer. And I hope that you will go back to your leadership and tell them that you don't like that kind of action, because this is poisoning the well. Don't let this happen.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, for the wrap-up.
Wow. Thank you. As those that know me in this body, I don't very often get confused. But let me ask this question. I wasn't in the Rules Committee meeting this morning, and I know we just came right from there to here, and there's been a lot of discussion of fairness and unfairness. But if Senator Bach would yield, please, for one or two maybe short questions.
Senator Bach, will you yield? Senator Bach will yield. Senator
Thank you. Thank you, Madam President. Senator Bach, I understand the hierarchy, how it works when majority takes over. Those people that were legislative assistants for the minority now go legislative assistants for the majority. That's a pay grade step up, I believe, especially if there's a committee. I understand that, and I think everybody understands that. My question is, did those people that even actually stepped up into the majority position, did they receive a 10% decrease in pay once they received that step up, like the minority folks who actually ended up taking steps down plus a 10% cut?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Ingebrigtsen, the difference between what happened with the salary structure relative to the majority and the minority, and I explained this earlier, is where let me use Senator Scoy as an example. His committee administrator had been a committee administrator in 2010. They took a reduction going over into the minority. Now coming back into the majority, he went back into the same salary that he received in 2010 in the grid. No raise. The only place that people got raises was where they were changing positions, getting additional duties and responsibilities. But members of the majority that didn't receive new duties and responsibilities, and LA1 is an LA1 is an LA1, have the same salary that they had, whether minority or majority. We pay the same salary to legislative assistants of freshmen, whether they're in the minority or the majority, and the only reason a legislative assistant might make more working for a freshman minority or majority member is because they have a number of years of seniority in the Senate. And whether legislative assistants are in the majority or the minority, working for a member that doesn't chair a committee, their salary is the same based on the grid and their number of years experience in the Senate.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you for that. And I get that. I understand that. I understand that they're going to be put in a position, the minority folks are going to be put in a different position. And once they're put in that position, the way I understand the Rules Committee today is that the minority folks in that position, I don't care what position they were in, are now also going to receive a 10% reduction in pay. Is that correct or not?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Ingebrigtsen, it depends on whether they're going from being a committee legislative assistant to a regular legislative assistant. If they were already somebody at the bottom of the pay scale, a starting LA, they wouldn't take a reduction because starting LAs are starting LAs, no matter which caucus that they work for. The problem that the new minority is struggling with is you had a lot of committee administrators that are no longer committee administrators. So they drop down in the salary structure. You have a lot of legislative assistants that were committee LAs that no longer staff a committee. So they drop down in the salary grid to a lower salary just based on the fact of the duties that they have.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President, for indulging me. I understand that, Senator Bach. I understand that they get put at a level. I don't care what level they're put at. When they're put at that level, in the minority, they're also now going to receive a 10% decrease from that level. If that's the case, is the people at whatever level in the majority receiving a 10% decrease? Even if they're bumped up into their responsibility, are they receiving a 10% decrease like the minority is straight across the board?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Ingebrigtsen, legislative assistants that worked for a member of the minority a month ago, if they don't have new responsibilities and are just moving into the majority and have the same job with a junior member that does not have committee responsibilities, is not getting a pay raise. There are a lot of staff for the DFL majority that are not getting pay raises because their duties are not changing. The pay raises are happening where individuals are receiving different responsibilities.
Are there any other statements of announcements of Senate interest? Seeing none, then I recognize Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Monday, January 14th at 11 a.m.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Senate is adjourned.